And welcome, everybody, to the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I'm your host, Gary Kester. Joining me today, I've got one new face and not really an old face, but starting with my usual is Hani at BLSS blog on Twitter. I think Evan Turner has a different name for you, right?
Yes, it's more of a take off two letters off that first bit.
Oh, interesting. That's all right. He's a Celtic right now, and you know they landed the number 3 pick in a 2-man draft. So, jokes on him right now. But also joining us today for the first time on the podcast is our resident 12-year-old Grant Goldberg.
I'm happy my mom let me on.
Grant, thanks for coming on. What's taking you so long to get on the podcast?
Well, besides you guys keeping me off, working and getting my mother's permission, like I just said.
Oh man, this is a usual start for us, right? I mean, okay, so something happened yesterday with the Lakers that we should probably talk about. So the 2016 NBA draft lottery was last night, and I don't want to say surprisingly, but I guess I was probably more pessimistic than everybody. But the Lakers actually not only kept their pick, but they stayed in the top 2 in the draft lottery, earning the number 2 pick again for the second straight year. Grant, since this is your first time, I'll throw it to you. I mean, what was your initial reaction just to the Lakers getting lucky again?
Well, I just basically jumped for joy when they kept the pick and then tried to calm myself down, load Twitter on my phone as fast as I could, get a couple tweets off, and then and then they got the second pick, and that's when I just lost it. I locked myself in a room at work, and I ran around. So basically, all the emotions of a 12-year-old, just all out there.
Yeah, It was weird. I was actually hoping that I was scheduled to work during this lottery because I was expecting them to lose the pick, and then I naturally just had the day off, of course. But yeah, Hani, I mean, were you surprised that they kept the pick, even though the odds technically were in their favor?
I wasn't surprised per se, but I guess I was a little surprised at the fact that there was nothing to make me fear for the fact that they would lose the pick while it was happening because everybody stayed where they were, so... yeah, it was just more surprising that it wasn't more stressful.
Yeah. I was watching the, like, I had the order up on my phone while I was watching it, and I was like, once they got to Minnesota at 5 and nothing had changed, I felt really, really good that they were going to keep it because, you know, obviously, you know, both Phoenix and Boston could have jumped them, but, like, the odds of just those two moving ahead of them, yeah. And Philly staying in the top 3 as well would be, I don't know what the odds were, but I felt like they would be pretty slim. So once they got to 4 and nothing had changed, I felt really good about it. And then obviously they revealed the Suns had the 4th pick, and everything was all gravy after that. But
I'm happy to be there.
Yeah. I mean, once they got the top 3 pick, it's funny because you're elated and like you breathe this heavy sigh of relief, and then you immediately get greedy, like you want the number 1 pick. In this case, I was actually happier, I think, with the number 2 pick because now the Lakers, there's really no pressure on them in this draft. Like the decision's going to be made for them. You know, it's going to be interesting. But just for fun here though, if you're the Lakers, and Grant, I'll throw this to you first. If you're the Lakers and you had your choice of who to pick, who would you take?
I'd go with Ingram, and it's probably an easier decision for me than it is for most people. I just think that he fills a need for this team, and you know I'm in love with all the measurables and what he did at Duke in his freshman year. I mean, not to say that Simmons is a slouch, because I mean he did great stuff, but I don't know. It's kind of a one-man race for me.
Yeah, honey, would you agree with that? Are you on Team Ingram, or would you, I mean, could you see Simmons being the guy?
I could see Simmons being the guy, but I'm also on hashtag Team Ingram.
Starting a Lakers civil war here.
Yeah, I just think, I think they're close enough in terms of their play where I don't mind picking for fit, and I think it's pretty clear that Ingram would be the better fit for the Lakers.
Yeah, I'm really torn on the two of them because, I mean, just when I watched Simmons play last year, it was such a man-among-boys scenario. You know, he was just so physically dominant. And I think he's going to have that in the NBA. He might, you know, there might be an adjustment period, but he's just going to be such a tough matchup as somebody that's 6'10" and can move the way he can. And, you know, he's basically a 6'10" point guard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the shot's a big concern because you need to be able to shoot the basketball for, you know, defenses to truly respect all facets of your game. But and especially with the Lakers, like, they need some shooting pretty badly. So I slightly lean towards Ingram if the Lakers had the number one pick, just because, like you guys kind of mentioned, he's not – like, there's not really a talent gap there. They're just so different in terms of what they can do. But Ingram is a legitimate, you know, number one option in this draft. You know, it's not just because he can shoot. It's because he's just really, really good. I will disagree with Grant. I did not enjoy what he did at Duke during his freshman year, especially that first time he played against Carolina, carrying Duke down the stretch and leading them to a win. But so another option that a lot of people seem to talk about with this pick, and Hani, I'll let you touch on this first, is trading it. There's been a lot of chatter out there that they could try and trade it for an established star, or they can trade it back for a few, you know, maybe a few picks, like a team like Boston, who has a boatload of picks in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see either of those as viable options?
I definitely wouldn't try to trade down from there, just because the rest of the talent in the draft class isn't good enough to give up either Simmons or Ingram to get more of those other players. As far as trading for an established player, I would consider it, but I just don't know how possible it is that another team would be willing to give up a really good player for the number two overall pick.
Yeah. Grant, do you think, I mean, because obviously the better option, I think, would be if they would like to trade the pick, since it's number two, there's so much value with it, the better option would be to trade it for an established, I don't want to necessarily say star, but wouldn't that be kind of your demand, is that you'd want a star player in return?
Oh, for sure. And especially what Hani said, this isn't the draft to trade down. It's just so weak after the top two. But I don't know how much that pick gets you in terms of a star player, but you definitely try to get all you can for it, you know, whether it be, you know, a mid-level guy that, you know, can you know, fill a need or add depth. I don't think necessarily that they'd be able to get a star unless they added a young player from the team.
Yeah, and I talked about this on Twitter yesterday. There's really only, I think, a handful of guys I would be willing to trade this pick for, and I don't think any of them are actually available, you know, from their respective teams. You know, there's been some names thrown out there like DeMarcus Cousins and Paul George and guys like that, but, you know, if you're Indiana or you're Sacramento, those guys have at least two more years left on their contracts, so why would you trade them away when you don't have to, you know? Those are kind of guys that you try and build around. So, and there's a lot of value in having a pick like this where the contract is about $5 million, and especially with the cap increasing, you know, having a team-friendly contract like that for a player that you control for the first 8 to 10 years of their career, you know, unless they sign a qualifying offer, which very rarely happens, you know, you're talking about, you know, a very talented player that you can keep in LA for at least 10 years. So there's a ton of value in that. And I think having that pick plus the cap space, the additional cap space that comes with it, as opposed to trading for a star, is extremely valuable and has put the Lakers in a good place. But so let's talk about the other pick in this draft that the Lakers have. We did a mock draft the other day. If any of you guys missed that, that's up on the site, both as a podcast and as a written version, so check that out. We actually mocked for the first 32 picks, and Hani, I'll throw this one to you first, since you were a part of the mock draft. What are some of the top options that you see possibly being available for the Lakers at number 32?
I feel like a lot of the guys that a lot of us, especially me, liked are kind of starting to creep up into the first round now after the combine. But we talked about DeAndre Bembry a little bit. I think Draft Express has him going 30th right now to the Warriors. But if he falls a couple of spots, I think he'd be a really good player to pick there. Also, like Cheick Diallo from Kansas, I think he's a really good player as well, but I think he's up to like 25th or something.
Yeah, he had a great combine.
Yeah, and yeah, because he barely played his freshman year, but he seems like a really good player. I don't know if either of those guys project as eventual starters, but I think that's where you can get a good role player to have off the bench, and I think both of those guys could be good.
Yeah, and Grant, the Lakers last year at 27 got Larry Nance Jr., which was a surprising pick to just about everybody, but turned out to be one of the best, really one of the best picks in the draft, given the value. Do you see any guys that are in that 32 range that could end up being, you know, kind of a steal like that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know how really deep this draft is, and you know how far back the talent level goes, but the guy I really like at 32 is A.J. Hammonds. I think that he could bring some nice depth, and you know, big 7-footer, put his back to the basket and score in the post and protect the rim on the defensive end of the floor. So that's really my guy that I've had my eyes on. Yeah, that's it's really just tunnel vision for that.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, really both of you on that. Bembry and A.J. Hammonds are two really good options, I think, you know, that could be available there. They could also be guys that go before the number 32 pick, so you never really know. But I think whoever the Lakers get at number 2 kind of dictates what their mindset might be at number 32, you know, because if they get Ingram, I think they would be more inclined to look for a big guy like A.J. Hammonds at number 32. And if they get Simmons, you're probably looking at, you know, a 3-and-D option just because you don't really know yet what you have with Anthony Brown. He had a pretty good year on the defensive side of the ball but really struggled to shoot. So hopefully he'll, you know, be much better in his second year, in his first year under Luke Walton. But I think that number 2 pick, whoever they get, is going to be you know, it's going to kind of dictate what their mindset is at number 32. Another guy that I will throw out there just for a third option for everybody watching would be Malcolm Brogdon from Virginia. As a North Carolina fan, I hated that guy the last 4 years because he was really good. Great defensive player, developed into a pretty damn good three-point shooter, and just kind of a quiet, he seemed like a really quiet leader that just did a great job and had a great career with Virginia. And I think as a wing defender and a guy that can shoot, that would be a great option at number 32. And the Celtics Twitter account can't even spell his name right, so
they shouldn't be allowed to draft him.
I know, like his camp should just tell him you can't even spell this our guy's name right. Just leave us alone.
Sorry to correct you, but I think you meant KD stopper Anthony Brown.
Now KD's gonna like torch us with 2 game winners.
You mean in practice?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if KD's gonna come off the bench with Brandon Ingram starting though.
You need some good competition.
Speaking of Kevin Durant, that's actually a pretty good segue into the next point I wanted to make. And Hani, I'll throw this one to you first. Do you think, I mean, what is the impact that this pick, this and the number 32 pick now, are going to have just on free agency? Do you think it's something that, you know, can finally net LA one of the quality free agents that will be available in July?
I don't think so. I think if there's a free agent that wants to come to LA because they have a young roster, it would be because of the guys that they've seen play, like Russell and Randall and Clarkson. I don't think a pick that's pretty unknown, even though we think that Simmons and Ingram are going to be good players, I don't think that kind of player is something that kind of gets a free agent to lean one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that was something we kind of learned last year. I think a lot of us, myself included, got so excited with the fact that we had the number two pick that we thought, you know, having that pick was going to really help in free agency. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we haven't seen these guys play at the NBA level yet. And, you know, I think players take notice of that and know that they're still unproven players, even though, you know, like guys like Simmons and Ingram have so much hype built around them now. You know, the same thing with Russell last year. You know, we were excited to have him, but in terms of the players that wanted to join, like, you just don't, like, joining a player that you don't know what he can do yet isn't really all that attractive. But, Grant, do you think that, I mean, just having this surplus of young players, though, you know, you're looking at probably 7 or 8 decent, at least decent young options. Do you think that's enough for the Lakers to finally get at least a few quality options as veteran players in free agency?
Yeah, I think they've, you know, built enough of a team to be at least a little more attractive to free agents. I think if they just add a couple more mid-level guys and just fill out the roster and make it, you know, a little more solid from top to bottom, that'd actually be really helpful. So not necessarily signing like star guys, but, you know, just, you know, solid rotation players and, you know, get the job done and buy into the team.
Yeah, and this free agent class is really weird because, you know, after Durant, there's a pretty, you know, huge drop off. I mean, you're looking at maybe a guy like Al Horford, but I mean, I've been on record saying that I'm not a fan of giving Horford a max contract, even though I know that's probably what it's going to take to get him. You know, I think Horford's a really good player, but I'm not a fan of giving a guy that's 30 years old, starting a new contract at 30 years old that pays $30 million a year, pretty much. So it's kind of tricky. I think they're going to have to look at a lot of the middle tier guys and you know, they might have to overpay for some, but the Lakers, they just don't really do that. Kupchak has been pretty adamant that they're not going to spend money just to spend money. And looking at next year's free agent class, it could be really, really good. So, you know, I wouldn't be all that surprised to see the Lakers get a bunch of 1-year contracts again, try and get some quality stopgap guys to kind of help usher in this youth movement that they've got going on. But I do think that the Lakers are a little more attractive, though, than they were the last two summers. And the fact that they can offer 2 max contracts, just having so much more cap space, I think that really helps. So, I think that's the difference between the last 2 years is they kind of waited on the stars to decide because they had to. You know, if they didn't, they wouldn't have had the cap space to sign them. So, you know, that's a little different this year. They can, you know, say they can throw a max contract at KD and still go after other guys while they wait. So, I think that's an important factor into this. But another reason the Lakers are more attractive is Luke Walton. Grant, do you think, I mean, I know we just talked about the young guys, but Luke Walton has probably got to be the most appealing piece in free agency as far as their free agency pitch, don't you think? Because he's gotten this reputation as a player's coach that just a lot of people like.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right now. I think his reputation is going to be the biggest player in, you know, free agent pitches. You know, you don't hear a bad word about the guy, and players love him. So I think that's going to be probably Los Angeles' most attractive pitch. I mean, besides his looks, because you got to have a handsome head coach. Yeah, so he's definitely going to be the biggest part in getting free agents to come to play for the Lakers.
Yeah, honey, is it bigger to have Luke or just to not have Byron Scott?
Personally, for me, it's the second part. But I feel like you guys are talking about Luke being a free agent pitch. I can see it not only from the fact that, one, he's not Byron, and two, he seems like a player's coach. The other thing is that he's coming from Golden State, which is the team that everybody's trying to get to right now. So I think it's even if people don't credit him with all the success there or any of the success there, just the fact that he's coming from that organization under a really good coach, helping a lot of great players, I think that's a valuable thing to have.
Yeah, I was hoping that Steve Kerr, when he won Coach of the Year, would give this, you know, emotional speech where he started to cry and looked at Luke Walton and would say, "You're the real Coach of the Year."
Look to Mark Jackson and say that.
Can't disrespect the Caterpillar.
Right. Well, and you know, to your point, Grant, the Mark Jackson thing.
So sick of that.
it's funny because a lot of people are kind of Luke Walton skeptics, saying, you know, anybody could have coached that team, and it was like, well, we watched Mark Jackson coach that team, and they were a 62 years in a row. Like, they didn't take steps forward, and as soon as they got a good coaching staff in there, all of a sudden, you know, they were a 60-plus win team, now a 70-plus win team. It just goes to show the value of coaching. I know it's still a players' league, but when you look at the top teams in the league, you look at, like, San Antonio, you look at Golden State, even the Thunder. I had my doubts about Billy Donovan throughout this year, but I think he's done a great job in the playoffs. I mean, coaches still matter, you know, even though it's a players' league. So I think naturally, even if the Lakers don't hit anything with free agency, I think they're going to be better just because they're going to be coached a lot better, and there's going to be some progression with their young players. So I think that's really going
to
help.
Right, that was a big thing. I mean, Steve Kerr was the one who got, you know, Draymond Green to unlock his full potential, and he's a guy that can't even guard Julius Randle. So
yeah. Yeah, it's crazy how much, you know. And a lot of people have given Byron Scott credit for developing guys like Chris Paul and you know, Kyrie Irving. And you know, I guess you can give him a little bit of credit for that, but there are certain guys that, you know, you could throw anybody in as coach and they're going to be fine. Like Chris Paul, I think, was one of those guys coming out of college that it didn't matter where he went, he was going to be a star. But yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I'm excited to have Luke. I'm excited to have another young player under his watch. And you know, speaking of that, we've talked about the fit between Simmons and Ingram and kind of how they factor into the current Lakers roster. But Hani, don't you think? I mean, you can see a way that Luke Walton could integrate both of them effectively into his system, right?
At the very least, I think you should try. I don't know if they'll be able to, and it kind of depends on how they're positionally going to play. I think there's, like, if this isn't going to happen all the time, but having Simmons as your small ball five next to Randle, I think, would work really well.
Yeah.
It's just not something you can do for the majority of the game because he's not big enough to guard fives. But it's going to hinge a lot on their individual development. And if they can get just even a decent jump shot each, just even if they can hit from the mid-range consistently, then I think you could see that working.
Yeah, and Grant, I mean, we've talked about Simmons playing small ball five and you know, all that. Do you think him playing point forward, so to speak, would be kind of the way you'd have to play him alongside Julius Randle?
Right, yeah. I think if we're going to have Simmons and Randle, you're better off putting Simmons in a position to be a playmaker instead of, you know, the team's main scoring option. I think that, you know, his skill set would complement everybody else besides Randle, so you're going to put him in a position to, you know, cater to the team. Going back to Hani's point, I think that you can try to put everybody. You could put both players in the offense and the system and have them succeed. I really like Ingram for Luke's system because, you know, he can shoot the rock and he's more than an unselfish passer. So I think that'd be really good for the team going forward. But I think that both would be great fits and Simmons would be an awesome point forward.
Yeah, the key with Simmons and Randle would be having one of them at least develop a jump shot from like 15 to 18 feet at least.
I was a little encouraged by Randle at the very end of the season and what he was doing with his jump shot, just being more confident in taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he's shown flashes, you know, there was times where he hit some threes and so on and so forth. But, yeah, it's just for him, it's just getting that consistent. But, I mean, when you – like, I watch him a lot at Kentucky because I was always a big Julius Randle fan and just really liked his game. I mean, he – like, his shot has already come a long way. So, you know, he's – I mean, I've read by a lot of people that he is the hardest worker on the team. Like, the dude just lives in the gym. But, you know, if he keeps putting in the work and kind of figures out his mechanics and things like that, and if Simmons, if the Lakers do end up with Simmons, you know, if they can both kind of just develop at least a respectable jump shot, they don't have to be 40% three-point shooters or anything like that, just something that defenses have to take into account, I think that would help things out a lot. But, I mean, when you look at Brandon Ingram, that shot's already there, and, I mean, he would fit perfectly in just about any offense, which is funny to me because – to me, Simmons is the best player in this draft, the best prospect. I have him slightly edging Brandon Ingram, but I have Ingram going number one just because he can fit so much better in a number of offenses in the league. So, kind of a weird draft in that respect. But you know, sometimes that's just kind of how it goes. But all right, I think that's it for all the points that we wanted to touch on. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add before we hit these Twitter questions?
Don't think so.
No, just we need to build a team around Larry Nance Jr. and just go for it.
I think you mean Marcelo Huertas.
I mean, if he doesn't sign a max contract elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, you got to worry about Marcelo. He was seen at, like, Harrison was pointed out to me. Was at Disneyland or something? I think he's going Hollywood on us, guys.
It's gotten to his head.
He's gone to Disneyland before he even wins the Super Bowl.
Hey, when you're the catalyst, man, you can do whatever you want. Okay, I'm trying to weed through some of these questions because some of them are pretty ridiculous. But, okay, this one we already talked about, just kind of trading it for a veteran, trading the pick for a veteran. I think we all agree that the chances of that are very, very unlikely. Are you more excited for Ingram or Simmons? For me, it's about 50-50. Like, I'm so happy the Lakers are number two because they don't have to worry about making that choice. You guys are both more excited about Ingram, though, right?
Yeah, I'd be happy with either. You know, whoever they draft, I'll buy the jersey, then I'll just cheer them on.
I don't know yet about buying the jersey, just because got to worry about trades and stuff. But, yeah, I'd be happy with either one, but Ingram, yeah, is my choice. I'd be happier.
I'm just, like, I'll be stoked either way. And I trust that the Lakers will be able to figure it out if it's Simmons and if it's Ingram. You know, you get the ideal fit. So Lakers are in a pretty damn good spot. But Donald Green, who just got himself a promotion with Lakers Outsiders, asks, any chance that Bryce Johnson will be available at number 32? And he says, if not, who should I target? We talked about that. Hani, I don't know how much of Bryce Johnson you watched this past year, but do you think that's an option for the Lakers at number 32?
Only thing I've watched from him are Draft Express videos over the last week. But I could see him as being an option. I feel like it's even more of a logjam to have him with Randle and Nance, because he's probably going to end up playing the four in the NBA. And especially if they get Simmons as well, then that's a whole lot of guys that should be playing the four, and I just don't see him fitting.
Yeah, Grant, did you get a chance to watch Bryce Johnson's fantastic senior year?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, whenever they're on TV, I got to watch. And he's probably the player that popped off the screen most for North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I mean, for sure.
Yeah, so I don't think that he'd really be available at 32. I think they'll have to trade up a couple spots if they wanted him. But, yeah, I just don't want to create another logjam because we already have enough power forwards as it is.
Yeah, in our mock draft the other day, I think it was Dylan that picked him at number 20 for the Pacers. And, I mean, I could see something like that happening. especially with Indiana, he'd be such an awesome fit there. But he just had such, he had such a what?
I said he's going 29 to the Spurs on Draft Express right now. So
happy for you. No, anybody but San Antonio or Boston, they're not allowed to pick him. No, I mean, Bryce took such a massive leap this year in his senior year. His junior year, you know, he showed flashes of why he could be really good, but like it just seemed like the focus wasn't always there. But just put it all together his senior year. Just an outstanding rebounder, great weak side shot blocker. Still has a long way to go on with his on-ball defense and his defensive awareness, but, you know, pretty decent mid-range shooter, and I think he measured like 6'10.5" at the combine, which is nice. You know, if he bulks up, you know, if he hits the weights hard these next couple years, you could see him play a lot of small ball five with his athleticism. But yeah, the Lakers have two, like the power forward position is the one position that they're absolutely set on right now. So it would be kind of weird to draft another one, but I would be ecstatic just because Bryce is one of my favorite Tar Heels. So, but yeah, I think we all agree that you would probably try and get another wing or a legitimate five there. But hey, you never know. We just talked about Simmons' fit with the core. Sheen asked if we believe in the Illuminati. I'm just gonna go ahead and skip that one.
Can't answer that.
Yeah, I mean, most of these questions are talking about. Are talking about the number 32 pick. I think that's kind of the great mystery here because we all kind of know who the Lakers are going to get at number two. But Austin Green asks, how much did Jim and Jeannie pay the NBA to rig the lottery last night?
Enough.
I was going to say, they paid enough. They paid enough if that happened. So. Okay, so one of our friends of the show, Scott, who is I think he's writing or working for something with the Royals now. He's working for the MLB, which is awesome. So he says that I, Gary, have a highlight video, and Hani has a meme. So, Grant, what is your thing going to be?
I think you said I'm 12. So I'll just create a paper with my name on it, like bench warmers, and say I'm 12.
There you go. Just Photoshop your face on that.
Yeah,
on
just put it as my header on Twitter.
I was gonna make a joke that Brandon Ingram is 18 years old and Grant, you're still 10 years younger than he is, which is pretty crazy. But
we're each one of a kind prospects.
Oh man, and then I think this is okay, Jacob's just bitter that we like A.J. Hammonds, but we'll end this on a serious question. So there's a report out there that the Sixers are leaning towards drafting Ben Simmons because Brett Brown, their head coach, has a connection with him. Apparently, Brett Brown used to coach Ben Simmons' dad. So they're both from Australia, I think, and Brown used to coach Simmons' father. And he asks, do you think Brett Brown has a say in who the Sixers draft since he knows Simmons? And Grant, you go ahead and take this one first.
Yeah, I think you have that connection already there. But I think that he'd have a say really anyways because he's the head coach and the process is done with. So, yeah, I think it helps out a lot that he knows Ben Simmons and you can provide some insight to the front office about him.
Yeah, Hani, do you think, I mean, first I'll have you answer that question if you think Brown kind of has a say in the matter, which, you know, I think he does, but not only do you think he has a say in the matter, but do you think Philly would look to obviously trade, you know, a few of their front court players to kind of clear the logjam a little bit?
I do think he has a say, but I'm not sure how much it is, especially since they have all that new management going on and there's been bunch of reports about him possibly getting fired, which would be kind of crazy. I think there were reports that if Mike D'Antoni was close to getting a job or was getting an offer, that they would fire Brett Brown and promote D'Antoni just to keep him. So I don't know how much of a say Brett Brown would have in that case, but I think at least consider whatever he says, and if he does know Simmons that well and he thinks they should draft him, that's at least a small tick mark in the Simmons column for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as trading their guys goes, I don't know if they'll do it soon. I guess they're saying that Joel Embiid is finally going to be playing basketball again this year, and I think they'll wait to at least see how he plays before deciding who they want to trade. My guess is that Okafor would be the guy that they trade away because, I mean, he wasn't bad, but he was slightly disappointing his rookie year, and you just don't know if his game translates to the NBA style, especially with all the other guys they have on the team.
Yeah, it's kind of they're kind of in an interesting spot if they want to look to trade some of those guys because you have Dario Saric coming over, and you know we haven't seen him play in the NBA, so you know teams would probably be pretty hesitant to trade you know anything of great value for him just because we haven't seen him over here yet. And then you've got Okafor and Embiid we haven't seen play at the NBA level either, and there's still going to be you know legitimate concerns about his injury history. Just mm-hmm. you know, reoccurring. So, it's kind of an interesting spot because I think Nerlens Noel is the guy that would have most value in a trade, but I think that's the guy they'd be more inclined to keep, you know, because of his defensive abilities and his potential as a pick and roll guy with the athletic ability that he possesses. So, it's a tough spot having two of those guys not having played yet. You know, it's hard to get a lot of value for you know. When you trade somebody like that, so that's why it's this draft is really interesting. You know, I think the draft really starts at pick number 3 because after that, that's when it's kind of unknown. But I mean, Philly could go really either way with a number 1 pick, so it's gonna be fun to watch. I just wish the draft was sooner instead of being over a month away. It's gonna be a long and agonizing month, but I mean, like I said, the Lakers are in a perfect spot, so we'll just take whoever Philly doesn't. Okay, I think that's going to do it for us. I know Grant's got to get out of here soon. I probably got to leave out soon, too. So we had a pretty good audience today. I want to thank everybody for joining in. I want to thank the select few that gave us some good questions, those of you that didn't, you know who you are. Grant, thanks for joining us today. Hope you had fun, and hopefully we'll get you on the podcast here again.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm looking forward to the draft and future podcasts with you guys. Of course, if my parents let me.
Can't just hammer that home enough. We'll make a permission slip and I'll sign it.
Right.
Just make sure you bring your $5 and pack a lunch too. So.
Right. Don't forget a hat. Wear sunblock.
And honey.
Don't talk to strangers.
Honey, as always, thanks for coming on with me, and it's great to talk about good Lakers stuff again. It's great. We're not agonizing over Byron Scott and oh, thanks for looking up. Yeah, things are definitely looking up. So
feel younger just by the fact that the Lakers are better, but still not as young as Grant.
Like you said, things are looking up instead of down to a foxhole. So,
oh man, I hope no Byron stands are watching the end of this podcast, so they're gonna lose it. So,
bring your hate.
All right, that's gonna do it for us. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we do have a mock draft up, which is actually really relevant now because the draft order didn't change at all. So, be sure to look at that. Here, hopefully as soon as possible, I'm going to put together an entire database to where we'll all have our own individual mock drafts for the first 32 picks. So keep an eye out for that, and we'll, you know, obviously be still reporting everything that's going on with the Lakers. And hopefully this perfect offseason continues its trend. So thanks again for joining, guys. Thanks for those that watched, and we'll see you guys next time.